Thanks for choosing Scam Kings. Be sure to give this episode a thumbs up, a 5-star rating, or a review wherever you podcast, so your friends can become fans of the show as well. And if you feel so inclined, please consider buying us a cuppa on Buy Me a Coffee. While it is mostly enjoyable, researching and producing this show is thirsty work, and in the immortal words of Liza Koshy, it will only cost you $1.
A dollar?
A dollar?
Yes, one solitary dollar. Either way, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello and welcome to Breaking Down Bad Books, a podcast analysing trashy bestsellers from a literary perspective. Following my breakdown of Stephanie Meyer's Twilight, I'll be digging deep into the raunchy Twilight fanfic turned erotic romance, 50 Shades of Grey. Although I'm not sure romance is the best word to use. Join me every Monday and Friday for chapter-by-chapter analysis of the book that Salman Rushdie said made Twilight look like War and Peace. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, or visit breakingdownbadbooks.com for all the listen links and contact information. I have a feeling that it's going to get awkward, but let's get through this together. Happy reading!
I am a woman of faith. I subscribe to the values that have been bracketed under the title Christianity. And yet, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that we are the easiest group to sway once we believe that God will be pleased by something that we do. It's problematic, but it also comes with the territory. And I say comes with the territory while lobbing a brick of salt at you, because there are complex ideas in that phrase that need explaining, but are not appropriate for this moment. But we are pretty gullible when it comes to God and affairs concerning God. Over the years, we have and have been taken advantage of because of this. Hell, there was a whole slave trade caused through erroneous interpretation of the Bible and what God stands for. While I can speak of Christianity, this can happen in any religion. It doesn't make it any less disgusting. Christine Daniel took advantage of the most sacred relationship that a human being can have and turned it for her profit. Rather than use her faith and calling for good, she let her love of money lead her to ruin countless lives. Today, we learn just how unholy the brethren can be. My name is Lucia Mike. Welcome to Scam Kings. Yet again, we find ourselves in a situation where we know very little about the antagonist's background. What we do know is that Christine Daniel was born in Nigeria in or around 1955 and was adopted by missionaries who brought her to the United States. She holds a degree in medicine from Temple University, Pennsylvania. She became a medical doctor sometime around 1979 and practiced emergency medicine until October 2002. But this sick story actually begins in 2001. But Dr. Christine Daniel came upon a realization that would make her some serious bank. In 2000, cancer accounted for 12% of the world's death. This panned out to about 7 million lives lost in that year alone. And while the mortality rate was falling from the previous decades, medicine couldn't seem to get a grip on the monster disease. Human instinct is to preserve life so that they may be able to enjoy it. Cancer presented a brilliant opportunity to capitalize on these two factors. But people were getting smarter. People were asking more questions of their medical professionals than their grandparents did. Questions that were getting harder and harder to answer. She needed something that would push it just over the edge. An easy crowd. She didn't have to look very far. Christine was an ordained Pentecostal minister. And over the course of her ministry, she would know that many people run to the church for healing, comfort, and refuge. She would also know how high the level of dedication was among people her age and older when it came to the faith and to God in general. As educated as she is, she probably figured out quite quickly that you could slap God and the name of Jesus on anything, and it would sell. Perfect. Her target market acquired, she put her plan into motion. Reports do not say just how long between the year 2001 and November 2002 she marketed and sold this miracle elixir for. nor does it say to how many people it was distributed. But she was making enough of an impact to be noticed by popular Christian station Trinity Broadcasting Network. On December 5th, 2002, Christine appeared on the Praise the Lord program to finally introduce this revolutionary product to the world. She touted the product as a miracle elixir and claimed that it, along with prayer, was the reason that the dead were being raised and the sick were being healed. The herbs that made up the concoction, she explained, were rare herbs sourced from Africa, which, as she later explained to patients during private consultations, was why the treatments were so expensive. The name of this miracle product? It went by many names. Sea extract, the natural treatment, the herbal treatment. But my favorite name, as the title of this episode suggests, is King Hezekiah's alternative, KHA. King Hezekiah was a Jewish king who was terminally ill and told by God that he would die. After asking God to remember the good works that he had done, 15 more years were added to his life. The perfect story to market to persons seeking an addition of years for themselves. That broadcast reached the eyes and ears of millions, and unfortunately, before long, business started pouring in. Emily Rodriguez was watching Praise the Lord on that fateful day. Emily was living with metastatic breast cancer, and she and her husband decided to give the treatment a try. After talking with Christine, the couple sent Sunrise Wellness Center, Daniel's personal clinic, a cashier's check for over $10,000. Returned to their address with three commercial water bottles of a thick, slimy, dark liquid labeled Level 4. She took the medicine for approximately 1 week before physically going into the clinic and receiving treatment there as well. By this time, Emily had completely stopped taking the medication prescribed to her by doctors in exchange for KHA upon the advice of Christine, who claimed that the traditional cancer treatments would cancel the effects of the herbs. Emily continued taking her treatment for more than a month. Jean McKinney was a minister herself, but her holy calling didn't exempt her from the rigors of illness. Colon cancer was her cross to bear. She and her husband George, also a minister, approached Christine after hearing of the regimen. The first hour of their first visit was spent praying, which impressed them enough in order to hook them, according to George. Then came the treatment, $6,000 for her dose of KHA, plus infrared treatment and prayer. She started treatment right away. Eugenia Vigiletti also had breast cancer. The promise of healing was alluring and true. It came from a woman of God after all. She made an appointment to go see Daniel at her offices. Daniel offered her two tiers of treatment, $1,000 per month and $6,000 per month. Vigiletti chose the $1,000 option because it was the more affordable of the two. She said that during their session, Daniel told her that she needed to continue with chemotherapy. Thus, her treatment began. Christine's offices were flooded after the Praise the Lord appearance. KHA was doing well. Christine was declaring people healed of the diseases, going as far as throwing remission parties for one of her patients. But that is exactly where things started going pear-shaped. Emily Rodriguez's treatment wasn't going as well as it should have been. She was actually getting sicker. Her husband, who was the primary go-between, brought this up with Christine, who became irate with him and told him, "You want her to get better, don't you?" He didn't question her again. He didn't get to. Emily passed away just around 2 months after starting her treatment with Christine. Jean McKinney had been taking her medication faithfully for 6 months, but her body couldn't handle it. She died in May 2003, 6 months after starting Christine's program. The person that Christine had thrown the remission party for also died. The cancer had spread to her brain. At this juncture, people were beginning to question the validity of KHA. Among them, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Because of the number of persons that were dying after taking KHA, they decided to run lab tests on the product. What they found in the concoction was not a mixture of rare herbs, but a poisonous portion of beef extract, cellulose, over-the-counter vitamins and minerals, and suntan lotion. In October of 2009, Christine Danner was arrested and charged with several counts of mail and wire fraud. During her trial, 28 former patients and all their survivors testified against Danielle, saying that she promised that KHA, or as she sometimes referred to it, sea extract, would completely heal them. They said that she even went as far as to show them x-rays of healthy bodies and represent them as their bodies after taking the medication. Only one person, George McKinney, testified that she had never said that Jean would be healed, and that was what they believed would happen. Danielle seemed unrepentant as she claimed that HKA did work and that her patients knew the truth. They were healed and whole, as many of the quote-unquote patients, pre-praise the Lord, have stated in their testimonials. Additionally, it was revealed that in total she made over $1.2 million from the sale of HKA, and she failed to report $1.3 million in corporate taxes. In September of 2011, she was convicted. 4 counts of mail and wire fraud, 6 counts of tax evasion because she failed to pay personal taxes and told patients to list payments for HKA as donations, and 1 count of witness tampering as she tried to influence 2 witnesses to lie on her behalf. She faced 150 years behind bars but was only sentenced to 14 in May of 2013, just around 1 year after losing her license. She was also ordered to return the money that she made, but she claimed she spent it all. She is scheduled to be released in 2025. Christine Danielle is a prime example of a wolf in sheep's clothing. And why wouldn't she be, when the business itself is a whole buffet? In 2007, sales by religiously affiliated entities accounted for 5-10% of the supplement business. And there are more wolves than you think in all faiths. Just because someone says God doesn't mean that they always mean it. But that's the thing with human beings. While most of us are genuine, there are those that aren't, and as such, while we extend respect to those who hold higher positions in the faith, we must remember that they are human beings and prone to fault. This isn't an excuse on their behalf, by the way. If they are using religion to trick and harm people, by all means, let them feel the brunt of the law. Instead, this is for those of us who are in the pews and even outside of the church. Do not invest heavily in one person, but rather the entity they represent. People aren't always genuine. But that's where faith is concerned. In a practical sense, it pays to do thorough research. There are several cancer institutions that provide certified information about the strides being made in cancer treatments. They are merely a search away. You should also talk to your doctor about any medicine that claims to completely cure these terminal illnesses. And lastly, no matter what medicine you decide to consume, always consult the Food and Drug Administration site in your country to make sure that it is safe for consumption, as well as to check out ingredients and possible side effects. The main takeaway from King Hezekiah's story was that prayer does work, but God is no genie. The option to grant your petition remains with Him. This is one of the truths that Christine Danielle bent and took advantage of. Hopefully, she has made peace with her God, because her actions have only created storms. Information for this episode was sourced from CBS, Oxygen, the U.S. Department of Justice official website, the Seattle Times, the LA Times, the Wall Street Journal, New York Daily News, and a paper by Colin Mathers and Cynthia Boshi Pinto, entitled Global Burden of Cancer in the Year 2000.